This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area, Thursday, October 25th, 2012. As many as 50 people were evacuated in Montezuma County yesterday as the Roachcap fire grew to almost 400 acres, pushed by high winds. The fire, started by a trash burn on private land that got out of control, was first reported yesterday morning around 11 o'clock. According to the Montezuma County Sheriff's Department, it threatened power lines and a Colorado Department of Transportation facility. The Denver Post reports that the American Red Cross set up an overnight shelter in Cortez with accommodations for large and small animals at the fairgrounds and animal shelter. The fire started about 6 miles northwest of Cortez and was burning to the northeast where homes are located. Firefighters are responding from nearby counties, as well as from the U.S. Forest Service, BLM, and Ute Mountain. A helicopter was on the scene yesterday, as well as one of the two 20-man hotshot crews that had been deployed on the Vallecito fire. The other hotshot crew will stay on site at the Vallecito fire to continue mop-up operations. Firefighters monitoring the Goblin fire reported no increased activity late yesterday, although the fire does continue to put up smoke. It is now reported at 800 acres, with the active portions of the fire high in the West Needles at about 11,000 feet in elevation. In other fire news, yesterday Governor John Hickenlooper signed a disaster declaration for a wildfire burning in Custer County that is threatening about 350 homes. The executive order makes money available to pay for fire suppression, response, and recovery effort related to the Wetmore fire. That fire was at 2,100 acres by yesterday afternoon, and more than 160 personnel from 16 agencies are on the scene. In addition to the homes and businesses, the fire is also threatening roads, utilities, and a watershed in the area. And in Rocky Mountain National Park, firefighters were hoping snow last night would bring in moisture to dampen the Fern Lake fire in the park and decrease smoke in the area. A National Weather Service forecast predicts several inches of snow for the higher elevations of the park through today. Rocky Mountain National Park Fire Information Officer Patty Bean said snow is always great because it melts slowly. The fire, contained within park boundaries, has now burned over 1,000 acres and is 17% contained, down from Monday's 30% containment because of growth in the past 2 days. And if this is not an example for icy chains, I'm not sure what is. While the fire season continues, now well into the autumn, snow is forecast for Colorado's high country, with as much as 8 inches possible by tomorrow. I-70 was closed over Vail Pass last night around 8:30 p.m. due to snow accumulation and motor vehicle accidents. It is currently open, but with the chain law in effect for commercial motor vehicles. Wet roads with icy spots begin at Glenwood Canyon and Eagle. Roads are snow-packed and icy from Vail on over the pass, with snow and slush at Copper Mountain and on over the Eisenhower Tunnel and down through Georgetown. Snow is expected to hit the Front Range today and tonight, with accumulation forecast up and down the I-25 corridor. A drop in uranium prices will mean a drop in production at some regional facilities. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that though uranium prices are still higher than they were 10 years ago, they will need to go up significantly in order for uranium production to be easily profitable. In September, the price of uranium dropped to its lowest since 2006. The Planet reports that those low prices mean that Energy Fuels will suspend mining operations at 3 of its Utah uranium mines until prices rebound. The suspension will start next year. Energy Fuels spokesperson Curtis Moore told the Planet that, quote, everyone expects the price of uranium to recover within the next year or two, end quote. To keep production going, Energy Fuels will continue to mine ore out of its northern Arizona properties. Moore told the Planet that the company will also continue to pursue permits for its newly acquired mines in Utah and Colorado. This summer, Energy Fuels became the nation's largest uranium producer after acquiring all of Denison Mine's U.S. operations, which included a handful of uranium mines as well as the White Mesa Mill in Blanding, Utah. Energy Fuels is still seeking approval from the state of Colorado for its controversial Pinyon Ridge Mill proposed for Paradox Valley. The presidential race is tightening, and both candidates are making a final push in key swing states, including Colorado. More than 10,000 people filled Red Rocks Amphitheater Tuesday night to see Governor Mitt Romney and his running mate, Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan. Benta Berkland has more.
The warm fall evening started out more like a typical Red Rocks concert than a campaign event. Country singer Rodney Atkins and Kid Rock each performed some of their hits for the enthusiastic crowd of Romney supporters.
It's a high school prom, it's a Springsteen song, it's a ride in a Chevrolet. It's a man on the moon and fireflies and
then it was on to the night's headliner, Governor Mitt Romney. Romney said the debate supercharged his campaign and emphasized the importance of winning Colorado and the state's 9 electoral votes.
We're on the home stretch now, and I think the people of Colorado are going to get us all the way there. What do you think?
Polls show the race is deadlocked in Colorado, and Romney urged the audience to vote early and help recruit others.
We'll bring back the America that has been the hope of the earth, and we need your help because it matters. It matters for your kids and for their kids. It matters for 23 million Americans struggling to get a good job. It matters for the future of our planet to have a nation like ours, the leader of the world, strong and robust, with a strong military and a strong economy and strong values and strong allies. It matters.
Romney spoke for about 20 minutes and briefly outlined his economic plan. He pledged to pull back on federal spending, balance the budget, and create jobs. But the event was more about energizing the base than outlining policy.
We need volunteers to knock on doors, volunteers to hand out yard signs. We need volunteers.
Vicki Rushley of Lakewood says she's a longtime Romney supporter, and this was her first rally.
I just like what Romney and Ryan say, and I just think that Obama doesn't say much. He, after being a president for 4 years, usually you run on what you've done. But he's not running on what he's done.
Republican John Roberts from Parker says he's also been behind Romney from day one.
He thinks like I do. I'm pro-business.
And while Romney didn't have to do much convincing to Tuesday's crowd, both candidates are trying to make the pitch to undecided voters, like Andy Salvadas of Boulder. He's unaffiliated and says he's been disappointed in both campaigns.
There hasn't been really an in-depth discussion of the issues. It seems to be more about framing an argument in a way that sounds good rather than actually making sense. It's more about their general outlook and their general personality.
His friend, Sam Ganyar from Littleton, says he's also undecided and he too wants more policy details from both candidates. He says the presidential debates didn't really help his decision-making process.
I get frustrated by the debate format. I don't find that it's really conducive of actually promoting the issues that are, you know, really at hand. Like Andy said, it's more about coming up with an argument that sounds good, that sounds cohesive, but, you know, maybe it becomes redundant in a certain way or doesn't actually come full circle.
The race is being fought in less than 10 battleground states, including Colorado. And with now just under 2 weeks left until Election Day, time is running out for the candidates to convince voters like Ganyar and Salvadas. Salvadas says he's attending President Obama's rally in Denver, which he hopes will help him decide between the two. I'm Benta Berkland in Jefferson County.
As you heard, President Barack Obama made one of his final stops in Colorado yesterday, leading up to Election Day. Yesterday's rally in Denver's City Park comes just a day after Mitt Romney's. Benta Berkland was there as well, and here's her report.
Both candidates are working hard to try and sway undecided voters in key swing states such as Colorado. Andy Salvadas of Boulder is one of those coveted voters. He's a registered unaffiliated and attended both campaign rallies. He says the president's rally definitely had a different feel.
I have to say the most striking difference was the demographics of the crowd. I would be surprised that if you showed me these two groups and said they're from the same country.
The race for the White House is being fought in less than 10 states. And on Wednesday, President Barack Obama tried to energize his supporters in a 15-minute speech. He touched on his own record and attacked Romney's economic plan.
You've heard now Governor Romney's sales pitch. He's been running around saying he's got a 5-point plan for the economy. Don't boo. Vote. Vote. That's the way to show your opinion.
Early voting in Colorado began on Monday, and the Secretary of State's office says nearly 10% of eligible voters have already cast a ballot. The Democratic Party even had vans on hand to shuttle people to and from polling sites. As close as this race is nationally, Governor John Hickenlooper told people Colorado plays a pivotal role.
This is the chance of a lifetime for you to make history, to really take this country and make sure that we keep moving forward.
Mr. Obama is on a swing through battleground states and pledged to the crowd that he would create jobs and provide middle-class security. He asked Coloradans to continue believing in him.
One thing I think you've seen, Colorado, over the last 4 years is that I mean what I say. I do what I say I'm going to do.
And that was good enough for Denver resident Sharon Johnson, who says she'll do whatever it takes to re-elect the president, including recruiting family and friends who don't usually vote. The mother of two daughters says she especially likes Obama's views on women's issues.
Romney, I believe, you know, just going by his history, and I researched his history, to each his own, but I think he views women in the back seat, and I'm not a woman that's going to sit in the back seat. I'm going to sit in front. And I'm going to steer.
More than 10,000 people stood outside in the chilly weather to see the president. Greg Fox is a longtime Obama supporter and came with his father. He says he backs Obama's views on everything.
Equality, on justice, on fairness, fair pay for women, all the social issues, and nobody can touch what he's done on foreign policy.
And while it's important to turn out the base, the race will come down to convincing the few remaining undecided voters, like Andy Salvadas.
Whether or not I feel like I trust either one more, I can't say.
But after attending back-to-back campaign rallies, Salvadas says he's now leaning towards voting for President Obama, based on the diversity of the crowd.
This served as kind of proof that more of the people's interests are better represented by this party. Regardless of my specific positions on things, I think that this is a party that looks more at the bigger picture.
It's a case Mr. Obama will be trying to make in the waning days of the election. Polls have shown Governor Romney cutting into the president's lead in certain swing states. In Colorado, the race is still a toss-up. I'm Benta Berkland in Lakewood.
Yesterday, Secretary of State Scott Gessler announced that the Department of Homeland Security has identified another 300 Colorado voters as non-citizens. According to a release, Gessler worked with the Division of Motor Vehicles to secure alien identification numbers, which are required by the Department of Homeland Security's immigration database. In addition to sending the names to county clerks, Gessler's office mailed notices to these voters confirming the federal government's findings and telling them to verify their citizenship or remove their registration. Gessler, a Republican, has been widely criticized of late, in part for his efforts to purge Colorado's voter rolls of non-citizen voters. Most of those targeted have been found to be Democrats or unaffiliated. Gessler's office originally identified nearly 4,000 voters as non-citizens. To date, 441 have been verified. Fall prep sports season is nearing an end, and that means playoff season is just beginning. KVNF's Tammy Meck reports on where the action is this weekend and how you can take a tour of this year's state cross-country course and watch the races live.
In volleyball, Olathe High School will host the Class 1A District 1 tournament starting Friday. Competing teams include number 1-seeded North Park, Plateau Valley, Dove Creek, Norwood, Uray, and Vale Christian. The tournament concludes Saturday with the top three teams advancing to next week's regional tournament. Class 2A league competition wrapped up Saturday. Paonia ended the season undefeated and in first place in the Western Slope League. They ended league play with a 4-set win over Rangeley Saturday. The Lady Eagles are seeded first going into the District 5 tournament, which begins tomorrow at West Grand High School in Kremling. Their first game begins at 9 a.m. against number 8-seeded Sirocco. Hotchkiss won their final matches of the season against Plateau Valley and Sirocco and entered district competition seeded sixth. They face number 3 Rangeley tomorrow morning. The two-day tournament will wrap up Saturday with the top three teams advancing to regional competition. The district champions earn the honor of hosting the regional tournament. Also in 2A competition, Telluride faces Nucla Friday morning in the District 3 tournament at Ignacio. In Class 3A, Cedar Ridge will open the Western Slope League tournament in Grand Junction on Friday at 5:30 p.m. against Grand Valley. Schedules, wins, and losses can be tracked at maxpreps.com or on the Colorado Preps Network at coloradopreps.com. Class 4A league competition wraps up this week. The Delta Lady Panthers face Glenwood tonight at Glenwood and finish league play at home Saturday with a 3 p.m. game against Summit. In football, there are still 2 weeks remaining in Division 3A and 4A competition. Delta hosts undefeated Rifle Friday night at 7. Undefeated Montrose will try to hold on to their perfect league record at Durango, also on Friday. For the sixth consecutive year, the Hotchkiss Bulldogs claim the win in the annual North Fork Bowl game against Paonia. The Eagles couldn't hang on to the ball, fumbling 5 times in their last possessions. Bulldog Jacob Galley ran for 166 yards and 3 touchdowns, and cornerback Hank Edwards scored 2 defensive touchdowns. Paonia's only score came early in the third period on a 4-yard run by Will Austin. The final score, Hotchkiss 39, Paonia 6. Class 1A league play wraps up this Friday. Paonia will be looking for a win at Cedar Ridge after their crushing loss to Hotchkiss. Cedar Ridge is ranked 1st in the Western Slope League and 5th in state Colorado Preps rankings. This is a must-win situation for Paonia if they are to stay alive for the playoffs, which begin next week. Hotchkiss climbed to 2nd place in the league with their win over Paonia and held on to their 6th place state ranking. The Bulldogs will end league play at home against 4th-ranked Meeker this Friday. Kickoff time is at 7 p.m. And qualifying area athletes will compete this Saturday morning at the state cross-country races at the Cheyenne Mountain Stampede course in Colorado Springs. A video of the course can be found on YouTube by searching Colorado High School Cross Country State Meet. Races can be viewed free and live at chsaa.tv, that's chasa.tv. Competition begins at 9:30 a.m., starting with the 2A girls race. For KVNF News, I'm Tammy Meck with your weekly sports report.
Changes are taking place on Thunder Road, southwest of Norwood. The Norwood Post reports that 2 designated camp areas have been established, including a new iron fire ring and grill stands. In addition, a line of boulders and stumps and a sign that reads "Closed for Soil Conservation" are meant to block off-road access to a double-track trail that is being decommissioned by the Forest Service. The Post reports that Forest Service dispersed camping restrictions begin on November 1st along a 2-mile section of Thunder Road and the whole of Natarita Road to its south. Camping will be limited to designated campsites only. This is in response to the Thunder Trails Project decision in September 2011, designed to address the environmental impact of heavy use in the area and to rehabilitate soil damage, vegetation, and wildlife habitat. The Post reports that while the 2-mile stretch of Thunder Road only features 2 designated campsites, Natarita Road features 9 campsites, all of which were chosen due to their popularity. Another 15 campsites will be identified along Thunder Road next summer. Also, starting next year, the agency plans to begin construction on 18 miles of single-track mixed-use trails that loop and interconnect around Thunder Road and meet at a proposed parking area to be built at the trailhead. The Norwood Ranger District says the work should be done by fall of 2014. Yesterday, the Colorado Health Access Survey reported that almost half of ER visits in Colorado are for non-emergencies, and it's costing everyone plenty. From Colorado Public News, Carol McKinley explains.
Open up your mouth really big for me. Stick your tongue out.
7-year-old Joseph Martinez is in the emergency room with a headache.
It will start hurting when I was in recess.
His dad, Francisco, left his job as a cook and rushed Joseph from school to the ER at Denver Health Medical Center.
The emergency room is much more expensive than if you take him to the doctor. Did you know that?
Yeah, I know. But we don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. There are kids. I cannot wait till next day or something. That's only my family that I have. That's all my family. So I need to take care of them.
Francisco, a single dad, is not alone. The survey found Coloradans say a whopping 44% of emergency room visits are for conditions which could have been treated by a regular doctor. Nearly 80% said they went to the ER because it was after hours. And like Francisco, many also said it would take days to get an appointment elsewhere.
44% does not surprise me. I mean, I'm actually a little surprised it's not higher than that because of the challenges so many of our patients face.
Dr. Christopher Colwell is the director of emergency medicine at Denver Health.
Some people come to us with hangnails and rashes that have been there for a year or more.
Part of the problem is that many patients ignore small medical problems until they blow up into big ones. But Colwell doesn't blame them entirely for unnecessary trips to the ER. He blames a system which he believes gives them little other choice.
Because we as a healthcare system, I think in many ways, have failed our patients in terms of providing them what they need in an accessible manner.
These ER visits are expensive for patients, taxpayers, and for the entire healthcare system. One insurer says it costs around $127 to see a family doc for strep throat. That same visit costs almost $500 in an emergency room.
We have patients that have got broken arms, respiratory issues, which are big now. It's just starting to get cold. And
Denver Health is trying to change this. When adult patients enter the ER, medical personnel determine if their condition can be treated with an urgent care visit. If so, there's a clinic just steps away. There, they can be treated for less by Dr. Jerry Solot and his colleagues.
It's a very, very special situation that is really set up so that we take the onus off of the emergency department and take care of the urgent and sometimes not so urgent patients, quite frankly.
Does it work?
It works perfectly.
It's a model which saves millions of dollars. Solot says training more family doctors would help too.
We probably see too many people who could be seen in primary care, but by the same token, we also know that there's not enough primary care doctors in our country to take care of these patients.
Grand Junction's St. Mary's Hospital also has an urgent care center next door. Carol McKinley, Colorado Public News.
This week is Colorado Winter Weather Awareness Week. The Colorado Department of Transportation and Office of Emergency Management are offering tips on how to prepare for inclement weather. The agencies recommend keeping an emergency kit in your vehicle in case you're stranded. If you find yourself stranded, stay in your vehicle, turn on your flashers, call for help, and wait for it to arrive. In addition to the emergency kit, they recommend checking your vehicle now and before any road trip to make sure it is in safe operating condition. Motorists are also encouraged to plan ahead when traveling by calling 511 or visiting www.cotrip.org for real-time road information. This concludes your morning newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.